Welcome to today's businessradio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, the host of the program that airs both on air as well as online and on demand. We have developed a business reference library of interviews with experienced business advisors to help you build enterprise value, improve profitability, control expenses, and formulate a plan for your eventual exit strategy. In other words, we help you maximize the value of your business. Today's guest is Michael Lasky, who is a registered patent and trademark attorney and an internationally recognized speaker on the topic of building stronger and more valuable companies, including exit strategies for privately held businesses. He is the founder of Altera Law Group, an intellectual property law firm in Minneapolis and Atlanta. He is also a graduate of the University of Minnesota and Syracuse Universities and a published author. This is the second of a three-part series of podcasts that will help you to understand how to position your company's intellectual property to make your company far more valuable for your future sale and avoid a likely train wreck. As we told you in the first podcast, there are three steps in this process. One, get your story right, also referred to as strategic positioning. Two, building brands which support your story. And three, convert brands into legally ownable and transferable assets. So this is the second one. We're going to talk about building brands, and welcome back to the program, Michael Lasky.
Thank you, Tom.
Step two, building brands. Where do we start with this one?
Where we left off last was that there's a likely train wreck for many business owners because they're running their businesses to be run on a daily basis, but they're not thinking about running them to be sold. And it's very different to sell a business than run a business. And we want to focus on what do you got to do that will help your business on a daily basis, but at the end, it will return significant value to you. All that accumulated effort, we want it to be make it transferable.
Michael, it's pretty normal in my practice to see business owners run out of day every day before they run out of things to do. They're wearing all the hats in the business. They're selling. They're doing the accounting. They're doing the collecting. They're buying inventory. They're running the factory, whatever it is they're doing. And you're right. You ask them, how'd you do last year? And they said, pretty well, pretty good. And you say, well, how are you going to do this year? Better. Why? Where are you going with this? So we talk about the big picture items. How long do you want to own this company? How many more years do you want to work? When do you want to sell it? And are you ready to sell it? And, of course, we talked about the fact that they need to deal with wealth management planning, they need to deal with their estate planning, their legacy issues, and they need to define their assets and get their company ready to sell. And, of course, that's what we've been talking about here. So business owners are busy. How do we get them, how do we get their attention to this particular item, converting reputation into brands?
Well, there are a couple of different ways. There's fear or greed. Fear is the statistic that many businesses just don't sell because they're not ever ready to sell and there's nothing transferable in them. Greed, well, I'll relate a story which you may find amazing, but it's a true story and it happened just last year. A small mom-and-pa company, Hair Care Products, in Atlanta, Georgia. We worked with them for several years. They had a single brand. They were privately held, of course. And they had worked this brand very carefully and gotten their positioning. Their elevator speech was very clear. Their story was very clear, and their brand was very strong. And a big company came along and said, you know, you have got everything right. The only thing you're missing is a lot of money to expand this product to a world platform. And they sold for 20x, 20 times what their book value was. And I know, and you're shaking your head, we're on radio. How can that happen? I interviewed them last week, and it's really a phenomenal story. And I'm not saying that we can get you 20x, but if you could go from 1.1x to 2x, and you tell your business owner, I know it's hard for you to spend time working on exit when what you really want to do today is work on today, but think about it. Someday you want that accumulated wealth out of the company. The only way that's going to happen is if you transfer the great reputation that you've spent building this company into a tangible asset that can be bought. So part one is you got to have a story and you got to stick with it. You're going to get really tired of that story, but your customers are not. It takes a long time for them to get that message. Number two, you're going to encapsulate that story in brands that they can remember. And most importantly, they have to be brands that you can own and they aren't owned by somebody else. Seems pretty obvious, but it doesn't work that way. There are two major failings in the selection of brands. Brands that aren't brands at all. That is, they are not ownable. They are generics. And the second is you don't own it. It may be a great idea, but somebody else owns it. And we find that 65% of companies are falling into the category of they don't really have a brand, it's a generic, and they thought it was a great idea to use a generic, or somebody else owns their brand and they're totally not aware of it. Well, now what's going to happen at sale is due diligence is going to occur, and one of the questions they're going to ask is, prove to me you own your brands or your company name. And it doesn't take very long to find out that they don't. And we're going to show you a technique in the third part of how you can be sure that you do. So let's talk about what's a good and what's a bad brand.
I think the best way to understand that is if you can give us some examples of good brands and bad brands that can make a difference in terms of getting your value up to the high end of a range. Although we must admit, 20X is an extraordinary, exceptional business, and most business owners aren't going to see that.
That's true. It's rare. If we can get you two and a half, you would be very happy. Anyway, let's suppose you bought some office supplies at a typical office store and you brought it back to the store to return it. How often have you bought something at Office Max and brought it back to Office Depot, not remembering which one you bought from? And they don't think it's funny at all. But the reality is their trademark is weak. How many of you have parked a car at Park and Fly? And notice there was another one next door called Park and Go. In fact, the two were in a lawsuit together, and the court said, well, this Park and Fly concept's really kind of interesting. You created a great new idea. It's a shame you branded it with a near generic, because we're going to let competitors come in with virtually the same name. They lost. So if you choose a weak name, you can't defend it, and therefore competitors can choose names that are very similar, and your brand equity goes away. If you do something even worse, you create a name of a product or a service that is purely generic, thinking that's a great idea. You own nothing. If I want to sell batteries and I open the battery store, I can't stop anybody from copying that because it is the descriptor. Let me give you an example of how this works. Suppose I gave you a choice of two domain names to buy, the domain names being similar to trademarks. There are some differences. And it's today, 2000, whatever.
I'll take todaysbusinessradio.com.
Okay. But if I didn't offer you that one, I offered you two, amazon.com or books.com. Both exist. Both sell books. Books.com being owned by Barnes & Noble, but you don't know that. So we'll just say, here are the two, $10. Which one do you want?
Based on what you've told us so far, we should avoid books.com because anybody could use that name. It's a generic description.
Well, there's problems with books.com. Well, the first obvious problem is you can't sell anything other than books. And guess what? Amazon sells mostly other than books. So you're really limited from the outset. The second problem with books.com is you can never infuse your story, your positioning into books.com because it is a generic and all people think is, I buy books there. Amazon, on the other hand, has a huge community interest behind their brand. Okay, so Amazon.com is clearly worth more for lots of reasons. But now let me wind you back to 1989 when both of them were started. Books.com for $10 and Amazon.com for $10. And if you're a small business person and you don't know your brand stuff the way you need to, you're likely to say, well, Books.com is a no-brainer because people will come there because it's the address for books. And it's true, it will get you started, but it will never give you the value back. So in your selection of brands for your company, for your product, and for your service, you've got to avoid the descriptors. You've got to avoid the generics. At best, you could, the best, of course, are completely arbitrary names. Google, Amazon, Yahoo, mean nothing. Or the suggestive names, the ones that are sort of in the middle. But if you look at the names of the truly most valuable companies, universally, almost universally, I should say, they are very, very strong trademarks. I mean, just take Nabisco's most valuable product is Oreo. How on earth did they get that name? But it is their most valuable brand.
So some other examples of strong brands that are defensible and build value?
I can give you names of large companies, but small companies can do exactly the same thing. But Kodak, of course, was the world's strongest brand for the longest time. until really quite recently. And George Eastman, who invented the product, and the product was roll film. It wasn't film. Film had been invented. His methodology for picking Kodak was, I like the letter K. It's going to start with a K. It's going to end with a K. And I don't much care what's in between. Now, that's a way to do it, but look at what he's got. He created a company that has a phenomenally strong brand. It's impossible to copy that brand. And had he called it Rollco or Filmco or the film company, where would it be today? I think it might not be here today.
So you create a name and then you define it.
Right. Okay, so what should we brand, I guess, would be a question that many companies will ask. Obviously, your company name is your most important brand. And one problem is, what happens if you selected your company name and it was generic because you didn't realize this was a mistake? Do you start over? Maybe. You might start over, but there's always there's a better way. And that is to create a sub-brand for your services, which is not generic, and gradually work your company toward promoting the sub-brand, and it will help resolve the problem that you might have created 25 years ago.
So you phase it in like a name change over
right.
a period of years.
Right.
Can you give us an example, explain how that might be done?
Actually, there was a company that did this years ago, and I'm sure nobody will remember it, but there's before Word and WordPerfect, the software word processors, there was a company called WordStar. They were actually the first to begin with the word processor. But the name of the company was something like MicroPro, which was a terrible name. And after about 5 years, they changed the company to the name of their product, and it became the WordStar company. Much better. So you can make this change. The other thing you need to do is you need to brand your services and subservices. Progressive Insurance is currently going on a very weak brand, but the concept's very strong. Name Your Price. It's not really a great, strong brand, but it's a sub-brand. It's okay. And it's been a real differentiator for them. They're able to show that what one of the reasons why Progressive can distinguish itself from Geico is they have this scanner gun, and you can pick the price you want to pay for the insurance, and they'll write you the policy. The fact is Geico can do it too, but they don't have a brand for it. So they lose the momentum of the concept.
So when you create the sub-brand, how do you protect it? Is that a trademark? How do you go about protecting it?
Well, there we go. We're ready for step three. So let's reiterate. You get your story right. You pick brands that are strong, and pick a quantity of brands, not just one. You're going to have a family of brands. And now we have to go to the last step, which is convert it into an asset that can be transferred.
All right. So we've finished step two of the three-step process, and we come back with the next podcast. We'll talk about ownership, finally converting reputation that can be sold, on the next podcast here on todaysbusinessradio.com with Michael Lasky. You have been listening to a podcast with Michael Lasky on todaysbusinessradio.com. Please tune us in on News Radio 830 WCCO every Saturday morning to hear more about how to maximize the value of your business, or go to todaysbusinessradio.com and click on Topics or Contributors to listen to other valuable topics of interest to business owners. All content provided by Today's Business Radio is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal, accounting, and business advisors. Today's Business Radio is not liable for the contents of this podcast, nor does it endorse any commercial product or service mentioned or advised in this podcast. All radio shows, podcasts, and other content provided by Today's Business Radio is copyrighted and may not be reproduced or downloaded for any reason without prior written consent of Today's Business Radio. Thanks for listening to todaysbusinessradio.com.